You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Bulls. I think this is episode 9. That sounds about right.
Or 20. We're coming up for milestones. I'm Nick. We have Lisa, who I'm sure has questions, as well as sled dogs. And here's Lee.
Well, hi, Bras, Bitches, and Balls. What a nice, soggy day to come together on a podcast. So I put out a little live blurb a few minutes ago, just so you could see the studio. Podcast Detroit does an amazing job bringing together some fun talent, and there's just interesting art all around for motivation. So if you are thinking about doing a podcast, this is a place to start, right?
And they have free podcast day coming up, I think March 3rd. But I could be making that date up. So just
no,
do you know?
You're right.
Oh, it is March 3rd. Okay.
Yeah. So come on in if you're interested in starting a podcast or just want to check out the studio. You can play around the mics, do a free podcast if you want to, and kind of go from there.
Awesome. Very nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
I will have Luna and Jen watch this video for that section.
Awesome. Watch the whole thing, Luna and Jen.
No. Yeah, watch
really?
The whole thing, but
Asshole.
Pay attention. But pay attention to the free podcast thing because
Nick's a dick.
Hey, that's what the graffiti says.
All right. So
the bra of the week this week, actually one of our listeners in the UK.
Oh.
I mean, we only have one in the UK, but hi.
Hi, Amanda June.
So her Twitter handle is at June Brawner. And June was catching up on the podcast while jogging and mentioned that she was rethinking her sports bra choices. And so I thought, hey, June, since you're listening to us while jogging, make sure your headphones aren't too loud so you don't get murdered. But we thought we would bring on a sports bra that might help June and others like her who may actually run when a bear is not chasing them. So, Lee, what have you got here in terms of sports bras?
So, I've got a sports bra by Panache. We call this booby armor at the store.
Booby armor.
Because it lifts you and holds you and really takes out a significant amount of bounce.
Oh, the boinging that hurts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because we don't want to break those ligaments that are actually holding your breast to your chest.
That's another reason I don't run.
Yeah.
I just made that up.
Okay. I need support for my ass instead of for my boobs. So we'll just talk about that later. But I did want to mention that I have a connection with June in the UK. My mother got married to her high school sweetheart. So they dated at 18. They married at 81. Now I'll say aw.
Aww.
Okay. And Amanda June is his granddaughter.
Mm. Oh.
Yes. So I met her there at the wedding.
Oh, awesome.
Delightful, delightful young lady. I mean, just.
And we're so happy that you're listening to us.
Yay. Now we're going to be inappropriate. Okay. So, no, we're going to talk about bras.
I was going to say, am I grabbing? Or
no, I'm not grabbing. So it's hard to see, but if you go and find a Panache sports bra, which you can find in the UK because that's where they're made, that's where the company is from. This guy actually has a wire in it. There's another model that they have that is wire-free. Okay. If you go for the wire-free model, just understand that you're going to need to go in a band bigger, more than likely. So try them on. Don't just blindly order it online, if at all possible. So if you are a 34G UK sizing, then you might want to do the 36FF instead because they do make these things rather tight. If you want it tight, because that's how you get as much lift as possible, then stay with your original size.
But okay. You don't want to end up buying it and then being like, oh, this is too uncomfortable. I can't wear it.
Yeah, you don't want to be cut in half. There are some companies that do make their their bras a little bit tighter. And when you go in, when you go into wire free, because the structure with the wire is not there, then sometimes they do compensate by making the bands a little bit tighter. So just a little professional advice, I guess, experience. So this has panels in it. You're being pulled in many, many directions. There's a panel here. There's panels here. Panels back here.
And pulled is a good thing. We want to be pulled up and in.
Yeah, you want to be pulled up and in. Exactly. And then you've got the wire in there. And then there's more material here for breathability. So some ladies come to me and they have jobs that are very physical, like nurses. And they'll say things boob sweat. Absolutely. Boob sweat. It's ruining their bras. Well, then find a great sports bra that you can wear at work. And it's made for sweat. And then wash that more often, hand washing, air drying. So the other thing that makes this guy really cool is the J-hook in the back, which we've talked about before. J-hooks are permanently on the bra straps so that they can become racer backs. Lisa, will you hold that so it don't fall down? So this particular J-hook is on a circle, a little circular metal piece, and it can hide underneath the strap so it doesn't snag on your sweaters or different sweatshirts or whatever. But then it can come out of hiding to create the racer back look. Yeah, the first time I saw that thing, I called the company. I'm like, it's broken. And they're like, no, you're stupid. I was like, oh, gotcha. So they helped me with that. But this is what I call booby armor, and it's nice and smooth in the back. You feel that?
Yeah, it's very stretchy, and I like the kind of sport. I mean, obviously it's a sports bra, but it has like some fun color in the front, but then it's also got that kind of
meshy
texture. Meshy, breathable. But like if you feel it on the inside, it's got the meshiness, but it still has the support there too.
The other great thing that does is if you're wearing a tight t-shirt when you're working out, which some people really like to do, then this minimizes how your boobs get hugged by the t-shirt just a little bit so that it doesn't give you a uniboob look.
But you don't get the sticking.
Right. But you don't get the, hey, look at these kind of look either. It also comes up a little bit higher so that if you have breasts that are very round up in the top and very round on the sides, it's going to help you from seeping over. So I do have women who end up with bras that I'm just looking at Nick and he's laughing his ass off.
The use
of
the word seeping.
Seeping boobage.
That's
Yeah. Seeping for you is a whole different thing. For some of us, it's boobs. So there you go. Panache sports bra. I highly recommend it. This is one of their more fun colors. Some women really say, well, I just want something plain. It's going to be under my shirt. No one's going to see it. Oh, wait, it's going to be under my shirt. No one's going to see it. Let's have fun. So we have fun patterns, more than I have plain patterns.
I like the little shorts, too.
Those thanks. These are little parfait panties. I thought the boy shorts would be cute.
And they have a little heart and ribbon for fanciness.
Fancy funness. So and I just decided I'd try to match it. I was in the dark talking to Lisa, getting very, very frustrated with my iPhone X because I couldn't find where the flashlight was.
Sure.
I was trying to hide in the store because sometimes people after hours, they're like, oh, wait, there's someone in there. I'll just walk in.
Right.
And so I'm walking around with a flashlight now. It was kind of stupid. So I'll put Betty away unless you guys have questions. Questions? Anyone? Questions? Okay, bye.
No, my only question would be where in the UK is our solitary UK listener so far?
Oh, where is she? Oh, you got to speak into the microphone.
Oh,
Jess is
going
to bonk you in the head. She's in London. She's she works there. She's a musician there. I don't know if I should say who her employer is because it's famous.
That's okay.
But yeah, she's a singer in London.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, we should talk off air because I'm always interested in hearing about singers.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, she was an amazing musician. My mom was like, can you play these things for the wedding? Like, you know, a day before or 30 minutes before. Uh-huh. And my brother and I walked in and said, well, I know how to sing it. And Jeff knew how to play it on guitar. And she's like, oh, just play me a little bit. Got it. And all of a sudden she was playing this amazing music.
Nice. Very nice.
You know, and she said, I'm really a better singer than I am a player. I'm like, then you must be one hell of a singer because you're great at this.
Right.
She's a lovely lady.
Great.
Lovely. All right. So Lisa and I did some stupid shit yesterday.
Are you talking about Netflix?
Well, that was really funny.
What else did we do that was stupid?
Well, then I had that song going through my head all day.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was just you. That was just you in your head.
That was me in my head. The Cranberries.
Mm. Yeah.
I heard other versions of Zombie yesterday, which I kind of fell in love with the other versions. Then I heard the original version again. It was like a zombie day all day.
Weird.
Yeah. I kept hearing it on different stations, and then it just wouldn't get out of my head. And I really wanted the other version to be playing, but... Yeah.
And then we got sad.
Yeah, because of Dolores.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P.
So,
Dolores.
R.I.P.
So then after Lee's child went to bed, we were scrolling through Netflix. And I'm like, I'm not really watching the Olympics. What's going on? And she's like, want to watch Netflix? I'm like, sure. So we're scrolling through. What do we watch? What do we watch? And I'm like, I know. I've heard from a podcast I listen to, Crime Writers On, who does all kinds of different crime-related, like they review podcasts and TV shows and everything. Mm-hmm. And a while back, they had reviewed American Vandals. Do you know American Vandals?
Have you heard about it?
Yeah.
I had never heard about it. I was like, American Vandals? Okay.
So Lee and I started watching American Vandals.
And I made it through an entire show without going to sleep.
Wow.
And then the second episode, she kind of started to fall asleep.
Oh, okay, fine.
But so American Vandals, do you want to talk about it, Lee?
I can talk about it some. It was hysterical. Okay, so it deals with high school, which is really funny in itself. And they have a vandalism problem. 27 dicks are spray painted on 27 cars.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure at some point in the series, the 27 is going to be important.
Sure.
But there's 27, and they're not little dicks that were spray painted on cars. They're like gigantic balls and all dicks on these things, right? And so they keep talking about it, and they accuse one guy. You know, there's always that group of kids that's they're just kind of on that edge of making it and being in the loser group, but they're kind of cool and... Mm-hmm. Not jockish at all, and they do stupid stuff. It was this what they did. They decided to accuse one of these kids of it, and he gets expelled from school.
Right.
So then, what do? You're accused of being this penis painter, and you're not in school anymore. So it was really, really funny. The things that they came up with.
It's a nice parody of Making a Murderer. It's
well, there were some really some like elements. There were some really serious elements, and there's guys that are going to dissect, you know, go in and really analyze the data and figure out if he's the actual penis drawer,
right?
Dylan, and then they start saying, "Wait a minute, he is a prolific penis drawer. He's been drawing penises every day on things in school since eighth grade." And so there's all these different.
Dick drawings.
Dick drawings. Dick pic of a whole different thing. And they started going, wait, his dicks are totally different from the dicks that were on the
That's forensic.
And who called it?
Forensic analysis. Yeah.
Who called it before they told us?
You did.
That's right.
She was like, ball hair. I'm like, anyway, spoiler alert, ball hair. Yeah, so it was funny, and one of the really funny things about it is if you're really watching, it's all at this Hanover High School in Oceanside, California. So the production is by the kid who is the actor, whatever his name, Paul Molinato or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
All of the edited by and everything are the kids' names that are in the show.
Yeah.
And it's like in concert with the Hanover High School Media Department.
Yeah.
It's really well done. Mm-hmm. So we're only... Well, I'm 2 episodes in. Lee's like 1 3/4.
All right.
I bet I didn't miss that much. But yeah, I was doing my best to be not so grown up and stay up and watch TV after 11 or whatever it was. It may have only been 10:30.
10:30.
But I was doing the gung, 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 gung. It had been a long day, man.
Yeah. Oh, it was a rough day yesterday, too. The weather is like getting to everybody. And I don't know, Mercury may be in retrograde because like, everybody I know is pissed off, fighting, angry.
I'm fine.
Except for you.
Okay.
You and your husband are fine. Everybody else I know is like... So the other thing that I wanted to tell you about because of the whole punk thing is there's another podcast, and I know I have a long list of podcasts for you to listen to now, because I've told you about Dirty John. This one is about a half an hour each episode, and it's called Disgraced Land. And it's all about murders and potential murders and things like that of musicians. So the second episode is Sid Vicious.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm totally in.
Yeah, and how Nancy died and then how he died and whether it was an overdose or whether he was killed by a loved one.
It's possible.
Wouldn't have to go to prison.
Yeah.
One of the other episodes was Jerry Lee Lewis and his fifth wife who died, quote unquote, accidentally. And then they're going to do Sam Cooke, I think, is the third episode three. So Disgraced Land, like I said, 30-minute episodes.
I could do 30 minutes.
You can do that in the drive from here to the shop.
Or in the toilet. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Just hide with the door closed. Lock it. But yeah, I'm really enjoying.
Place women can hide from their kids and pets. And half the time, you can't actually hide from them there either.
You can't hide from the pets. They just push the door open.
Yeah.
So I would recommend listening to that on your drive.
See, the Sam Cooke one's interesting because Sam Cooke was, you know, by all accounts, lovely man, except in the account of his death, where you see many of the tropes that you see now, where it's like, oh my God, he suddenly turned into a raving monster. And it's like, I don't know if that's...
Maybe he was a raving monster all along?
No, or... I think maybe...
I know, I was wondering the same thing. Is it because he always was and we just ignored him?
No, I think it's the opposite. I think feared for my life type situation.
Because they did say in the teaser, was it a justifiable homicide? So whatever involved Sam Cooke involved...
Yeah, because the person who shot Sam Cooke basically described him in ways that didn't jibe with anyone's experience
with
of Sam Cooke ever.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really interesting story. So I should check out that specific episode if I don't check out any other.
Yeah.
Because Sam Cooke is
I would be interested in Sid Vicious. Apparently, I was more into punk than I ever thought I was because I went to something that had punk in the name and there was no punk there. And I got really into punk wasn't in the name, but punk was implied in some stuff. Anyway. And I kept going, wait a minute, there was all these opportunities for great music, including the Vomit Spots. So, yeah.
Licensing could have been an issue.
It could have been.
I'm sure the Vomit Spots would have been fine
with
licensing.
Loved it.
But, but some of the major stuff.
Yeah. I'd like to bring them up here and get them with Deka.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, do a show.
That could be fun.
And Alisana would be good to bring up, too. That's one of the lead screamer. Dennis Lee is Patrick's cousin.
Oh, okay.
So I would like to just say, hey,
come on up.
Let's get a show together.
Get in your mystery machine and come on up.
I can go pick him up at the busted van.
See, that'll take a while because they'll have to go to abandoned fairgrounds, which are haunted by
jinkies.
Exactly. What kind of weird post-apocalyptic world do they live in where everything's populated by abandoned fairgrounds and robots?
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo is a strange world.
But wouldn't
world.
That be the apocalypse you'd like to go into? I mean, if you got to choose your world.
Yeah, I don't know if have you ever watched The Venture Brothers?
No.
Oh my God, you need to find the Venture Brothers episode that features the Scooby gang.
Okay.
Because in that, I mean, the Venture Brothers in general, everyone watch the Venture Brothers. It's a great show.
Where do you find Venture Brothers? Is this
Stars,
Netflix,
HBO? Because
it's not CBS, NBC, ABC anymore.
It's probably on Hulu, maybe. I don't know.
I always forget about Hulu.
I'll have to find out the best source for it. Anyway, their Scooby-Doo thing. The Scooby gang turn up. And the Scooby gang are basically the Sinhalese Liberation Army with Daphne being Patty Hearst. And Shaggy is basically the son of Sam.
Oh, my God.
Scooby. The reason why he can hear Scooby is because he's completely insane. And Scooby constantly talks to Shaggy like the dog next door talked to Berkowitz. Like, you are the hand of vengeance. You must kill now.
So just for people who don't do true crime, The son of Sam, one of the things he said was the dog made him do it, and because the dog told him what to do, who to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to go down a Scooby rabbit hole for a second.
Are we okay?
Because, well,
okay.
Nick started it. So I'm just going to take us a little further down that rabbit hole. Stephen Colbert did a series, and maybe you've seen this. I have it on DVD, if not, and we will watch it.
Okay.
Harvey Birdman, Attorney
at Law. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, represents – he was a superhero that retired and became an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike real attorneys, he did criminal and, you know, federal cases.
He basically does every lawyer thing you can possibly do.
Right. So he did a child custody dispute between Johnny Quest and his partner – who took care of the kids.
I gotta take my shoes off.
He represents Scooby and Shaggy when they get pulled over in the mystery machine for doing weed.
Uh-huh.
That makes total sense. Totally
makes sense.
A talking dog, you might get him high.
Yeah, and I believe he represented Boo Boo Bear, who was the Uniboo-boo.
Nice. Yeah. There's an episode which riffs on the whole hot coffee thing.
Oh, yes.
Because Apache Chief gets it spilt on his lap and now can no longer grow to giant size.
And it's all about him growing large.
Important thing for a man to do.
It's a lot of the same writers as the Venture Brothers. It's all very incestuous in who writes this stuff. So if you enjoy that, you'll probably like the Venture Brothers.
The Venture Brothers. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Basically like, it's the Hardy Boys, it's Johnny Quest, it's like all of those things mashed up.
I do have a topic for you guys today. I'm not just coming in here winging it. I know.
Wow. All right.
I'm talking about my sled dogs, damn it.
Okay, damn it. You're going to talk about your sled dogs. You have time. Okay. You have time. You still have time. It's like Mr. Incredible. I can go. I have time for one more. So I met a friend of mine at a coffee shop today. And it's important for me to get little bits of time with people because I've discovered that these things, these boxes, all this wonderful technology that helps us get so much done is also making us very lonely.
It's true.
And you can get so many things done in your little computer, and that's awesome. And we are very connected, but we're not connected.
And so we think we're connected, but we're not really connected too. Because like I can text you and I can email you and I never actually see you and have a substantial.
We don't sit down and have a beer together. We don't have an interaction. Right. We don't get to hug and look into the eyes, which are the windows to the soul. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it's making us very sad and lonely. So I went to Starbucks and I was like, I'm going to spend 15 minutes with this person. Her energy is amazing, and it was really good. So that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about. And then as I was standing there waiting because she was a little bit late and I was a little bit late and whatever, and we were meeting in a place that was unfamiliar to us. Her, and I'm standing there, and this man looks at me, and just said, "Is someone late?" I said, "Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep." Mm-hmm. And I'd already had a bunch of coffee, like 4 shots of espresso or something before I left my house.
She was already bouncing off the walls.
And I'm like, mm-hmm, yep. And we started talking, and he finally asked me to sit down. It was all about the business. "So are you working today?" he said. It was just a great conversation. It was an awesome little bit of, hey, this is a new person. His name was Jim. He found out all about Busted. He thought it was interesting. Maybe he was just blowing smoke up my ass. But we had a little interaction. Then he met my friend who came in, and we went on about our business. But I thought, what a nice day, a nice time. Somebody just talks to you without wanting anything, but, oh, you seem like an interesting. He was by himself. He was probably lonely, but he didn't have out his computer. Mm-hmm. He had a book, a newspaper. He was reading an actual newspaper.
Okay.
Which people don't do that much anymore either. It's actual newspapers. So just something interesting. And then, of course, I decided to get Nick a protein box, and he made a very colorful quip about that.
Who doesn't love protein?
There you go. So that was really it. What do you think about the connectivity that we have?
I think they've actually had a few articles come out lately about anxiety and loneliness being at epidemic proportions because, we're all even when we're in the same room, we're staring at our phones.
I've texted you from across the room before.
Right. And so it's like, hey, I'm upstairs. Can you bring me blah, 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 you know, or dinner?
I've texted Nick at a dinner table when we couldn't talk to each other for whatever reason.
That's true.
So, I mean, and that's great. Like, if you want to make fun of something or something like that and you want it to be on the down low, great. But I think there's also, and this kind of may sound like sending mixed metaphors because, or mixed metaphors, no metaphors here, mixed signals, because we always talk about creepy people talking to you, blah, blah, blah. If they're talking to you at, say, a bus stop.
Right.
And they're trying to get you in their car. Yeah, no, that's not cool. But no. Like when you come, I think it's great when you have a random interaction with somebody and we're all so busy and focused on ourselves and where we need to get to go and all of that, to just stop and take a second and just have a nice, positive, short interaction with another human being just to say, hello, I see you.
Right.
You exist.
Okay.
Sort of like Avatar. I see you.
I've never seen Avatar.
No. You've never seen Avatar?
I mean, I like the character design of the main lady, but I've never actually watched the movie.
Me either.
Yeah.
I think they're blue people, right?
They're blue cat people, which normally would be
they're
my thing.
They're not cat people.
They're kind of feline-ish things.
No, really not.
Well, all right. I like cat people, especially the Shrek. Well, actually, I like both.
They're
versions.
More like they're giant, great. Skinny blue Shreks than they are like cat.
Ew.
That's accurate. That's hot.
I thought they had a really good storyline, too.
I thought they were pretty.
They're beautiful, tall, pretty. And skinny Shreks. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So my general view on this is you'll see a lot of memes where it's like, oh, people are staring at their box, at their phones and things like that. And it's often done by someone who's like a baby boomer or a Gen X, like older Gen X person. They'll do like art about like how, oh, we're not connected. We don't talk to one another. And there's always these signs of like people like just staring at their phones. And you always get the impression from these images that the artist thinks that all the thing does is glow.
And there's no actual interaction.
There's no actual interaction going on. And you think about, see, it's interesting that you bring up a newspaper because people have always had these things that they will do in the public space where they're distracting themselves in one way or another.
Mine used to be cigarettes.
Or signals to don't talk to me. I'm
not
open.
Talk to me.
I'm reading a book while I'm having dinner alone.
Exactly.
Leave me alone.
But for the most part, people are using their phones to talk to people. But there is a different source of loneliness that doesn't come from lack of interaction, but actually comes from greater or like a drowning in interaction. This is something that we actually see due to dating apps, because there are a lot of people who are very dissatisfied with dating apps because – there are so many choices that there is an inclination to reject everything because you think, well, there's so many people. I will always find another person. And this is actually a phenomenon that comes up. And
really?
I think, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't do well with too many choices.
Yeah. Humans do better with restriction.
And so the dating app, because there are so many.
Yeah, there's
people,
even one called Plenty of Fish, right? Which sort of underscores that there are tons and tons of people out there.
So don't waste your time with this one who may be a perfectly good match because he's not cute enough or he likes something you don't like.
Or she.
And the dating app is really prevalent, right? I mean, it's something everybody
people love
does.
It. Right. Yeah. Or like,
usually two
God.
Or three.
Oh, God, she's got, like, glitter eyeshadow. Ugh.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
That
like
kind
something
of thing.
Really
like
petty.
Something small. And I think that that's
like Seinfeld.
Actually, like what?
Like Seinfeld.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
He would always come up with
okay,
something very small. Yeah.
I'm like, you rejected people for Seinfeld?
No, not like he would do.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Right?
How someone looked in lighting.
Yeah, and it gets worse, right? As people get more choices. So I do think that there is an argument that could be made about technology leading to loneliness, but I don't think it's because
we're not connected. I think it's because there
we're
is
too
a lot.
Connected.
Too connected.
Right. Well, I think that it's because that we're not touching each other. They think that we need a hug.
Well, that's I think actually we need true, to too. Actually, there is a physical
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. I think there's more to us than just communication.
Right.
You know, that we communicate through body language.
Right.
That there's yeah. an art to that. That's why I think Botox is silly.
Because now I can't see your facial expressions.
What would I do without facial expressions or whatever? And you know, I don't want everybody to come to me and say, that's not what Botox does. It's not for me. I don't get it. The people I've talked to, I'm like, are you smiling? Because, yeah, hi, how you doing? But no, I do think that we need to be yeah. able to
you
interact.
Need a mix.
So the little fella you were talking to today, who was just a brief moment, right?
Yeah, Jim.
So brief, Jim.
He's a scrap metal guy.
He's Hi, a Jim. Scrap metal guy. Oh, that's cute. Okay. So anyway.
That's not the word I would have used, but okay.
So anyway, so like you get to talk to him very briefly. But the thing that you do there is you actually had a limited moment, a small window, and very limited information. So actually, there was more to be taken from that because you are talking in those limitations,
yep.
which, since I can't go a day without referencing June, is actually the basic message of the whole June series, that humans do better when they're restricted, mm-hmm. when they have restrictions.
So if we live in a small town, you're going to do better.
In a way, yeah, because you're going to have those things that you're having to react against. Multiple choices leads to stagnation, leads to that because
not
rather
making a
than,
choice at all.
Rather than making a choice, yeah, exactly. If everything's special, nothing is. If everything is open to you, everything is.
Right. Think there. About the places you go, like out to eat. Like, this is one of the things with places like. I've never been to the Cheesecake Factory, but the Cheesecake Factory, like where they have a 47-page menu, you know, like I've seen their menu, right? It's like pages and pages long, and there's like 30 things on each page, and you're like, I don't know, don't know.
And Tyler right now is going, is the Cheesecake Factory coming to Detroit?
But if you go to like a restaurant that, let's say Gordon Ramsay after his TV show, Restaurant Nightmares or whatever that was, he would always go in and be like, shorten your goddamn menu.
Right.
Like 10, 15 choices. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, obviously they're doing fine. Like, they don't need to listen to me or Gordon Ramsay. But, you know, that's one of the things that
I would listen to Gordon Ramsay all day. Exactly. Just cuss me out one time. That'd be great.
So, but that's because of that research that shows that we don't do well with too many choices. We freeze up and we don't make
right.
a choice.
Yeah. Same thing goes for wine lists too.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into a restaurant and the wine list is basically a book, that's not a good wine list. You want a limited wine list.
Okay, I can totally – you guys have convinced me because then I start thinking, yeah, and I have Sirius XM on my radio.
But you listen to three stations maybe.
I've picked out six. And if you go to my Sirius 1, 2, and 3, I really don't have much on 2 and 3.
Right. Uh-huh. You don't need unlimited choices.
No, and I have some talk radio on those. Mm-hmm. Really, the BBC. I like to listen to the BBC every once in a while just to see what's going on. A different
world
perspective.
News.
Well, when we lived in Germany, that was my English. I need to hear English today.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And I went up north to see my nieces play. It was door to door. It was all about what happened, like, different experiences we have when people come and knock on your door. And
oh, it's not like a prequel to Death of a Salesman.
No, opportunity like knocking and,
cute,
you
though.
Know, people ignoring it and things like that. But one of the last sort of vignettes of the whole play was one of the kids comes out and says, our brain makes 35,000 decisions a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, no wonder we're exhausted by the end of it. It's like, you know, a lot of them are really simple. Do I have a Coke or a Diet Coke? You already know the answer. I'm going to get a Coke every time. You're going to get a Diet Coke. You know?
Yep. And I get yelled at by my kid. Why do you drink that
right.
shit?
But then there are, you know, other decisions that are much harder.
You know, which
do I refinance?
I
which what am I going to wear to meet Marlies Deckers? So it's kind of to limit all of those decisions that your brain makes, you know, you have the one dish that you always order because that's, you know what it is and you know you like it. Uh-huh. So you don't have to make a decision and then be disappointed in it and all of that.
So I need to ask you a question. Next week, I'm going to be meeting Marley Steckers, which means that I'm not going to be sitting at this table. Doxy is interested in coming to talk to you.
Oh, great.
Do you guys want to have it next week? Or?
Sure,
okay. We can do it.
You guys can do it. Jess, you heard it here.
We're doing
They're doing next week.
We'll be here next week. Lee won't because she'll be stocking the store for the future. So.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
The stores for the future. The stores.
Stores.
So we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other
okay.
stuff. But while you
Lisa
were upstairs,
has been waiting for 2 weeks
yes.
to tell this story.
Something that also happens up north is dog racing.
Dog sledding. Thank you for the segue, Nick.
Okay.
Beautiful. There we go. Tell us about your huskies.
Hey, yeah. Let's talk about dogs.
Dogs. Well, and yesterday I think was like National Love Your Pet Day or some made up day like that. You know, like National Taco Day, only hug your dog and don't eat him.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's not mix those two.
Don't do that. But so I had mentioned last time I was here, I guess we were all here because we didn't have a show last week, right?
Right.
Everybody was sick. So last time we had a show that there was a sled dog race up in the UP that I wanted to tell everybody about. And I referenced that I had gone down a Twitter
rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about the Twitter rabbit hole that I went down. And if you are on Twitter and you are interested, there is a whole area of Twitter. You know, they have like lawyer Twitter and crazy people Twitter, whatever. You know, this is Musher.
Well, that would actually be Twitter.
That would be Twitter in general. Yeah, yeah, there's no special area for that.
So you could just like search
you could do
dog sledding and
Mushers.
You get all these. Oh, Musher.
Musher Twitter.
And then you'd end
or
up with
you,
all these different titles.
Yeah, or if you like do hashtag Musher Twitter, anybody who hashtags that phrase Musher Twitter will show up in that feed.
So is there a bra section? Lingerie
I've never
section?
Looked for lingerie, but they did have like they'll do like they may do for the Curve show, hashtag Curve 2018.
Yeah.
Anything you post on Twitter with the hashtag Curve 2018 will show up in that feed. And anybody else posting hashtag Curve 2018 will also show up in that feed.
Isn't it wild that hashtag used to be a pound sign?
I know.
Yeah.
Now it's hashtag.
Now it's a hashtag.
Now it's a hashtag. So kids
and people
are
actually
go,
say hashtag blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. LOL.
Yeah. So Musher.
Hello, welcome to 2002 Internet Talk. It's delightful.
So if you go to hashtag Musher Twitter, you will find the people that I'm going to talk about now. And you'll be probably fascinated if you are into dogs or sled racing, or even if you didn't think you were into sled racing. It's pretty pretty fascinating area, and I'm just trying to unlock my phone to tell you here we go. The person that I started following is at Blair Braverman, B-L-A-I-R, Braverman.
Okay, got it.
And she wrote a nonfiction book called
272.
Welcome to the Goddamn Ice Cube.
Okie dokie.
So I haven't read that, but I'm interested because
sometimes I feel like we're in a goddamn ice cube.
Right. So Blair.
But not the last 2 days. Oh, my throat feels so much better. Anyway, go.
So anyway, Blair.
Have a protein box.
Exactly.
Has a sled dog team. And she posts a lot about those teams and all of the dogs on it. And some experiences that have happened with her sled dogs and what she feeds them, and people will ask her, and she's always great about responding. Like, so if you have a question about what do they do, why does one in the lead versus another one, Blair is awesome about responding to that. She's a super cool person to follow. Well, her feed is almost exclusively sled dogs and pictures of sled dogs, and they're very cute. So
they're not very big.
They're not very big. Like they're like your Dakota, who's like, you know, a 35-pound.
Yeah, I've got two dogs. One's named Dakota, and she's a little mutt, just barks her ass off half the time. And then the other one is a gigantic Alaskan Malamute. He's 138 pounds. And a lot of times people are like, oh, is he a sled dog thing? And I'm like, no.
He's too big.
He can't get halfway down the driveway without having to lay down. Look how cute they are. Did you put that on Bras,
I didn't, but I'm gonna post one of Blair's pictures.
They're tall and skinny.
I'll retweet it. But yeah, they're tall and skinny, maybe like 35, 40 pounds, and they have a very high metabolism. So I would highly recommend that you go look at her pinned tweet for what happened in a recent race that she was in. And I told you and Patrick about it. And I don't do it justice. You really just need to read the thread. But this got me into thinking, okay, the Iditarod's coming up. And that's the big race in Alaska, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
And there's history to the Iditarod. And most people generally know a little bit about it because they've seen Balto.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read a book when I was in elementary school, a nonfiction book about
Balto?
About the actual serum run.
Okay.
So I went back and I'm like, okay, I need to know about this again and hear about what happened in the serum run, which is what the Iditarod is based on. So there was a huge diphtheria epidemic in Nome, Alaska, and kids were dying. And diphtheria, if you want to go down that Google rabbit hole, basically turns your throat into like leather and you can't breathe and you die a horrible death. So these kids were dying.
Terrible.
Vaccinate your kids, people, because that's one of the reasons.
Diphtheria is one of those things that are
in
one of those vaccinations.
Yep.
It's a horrible, horrible thing. But this happened in the early 1920s, right, in Alaska. And it was in Nome, which is northern Alaska. So and you probably know more about this than me because I'm not a science person at all. But there's either vaccination or there's a serum, an antitoxin that you are given once you are exposed, right? So they didn't have any of this. It didn't arrive on the last ship over the summer before everything shuts down. So the doctor that was in this small village was like, we need some of the serum. These kids are dying. And
I'm so all nervous. What happens next, Lisa?
They were trying to figure out how do they get the serum to Nome, Alaska in the middle of winter. And this is the 1920s, so roads are not great. Everything's frozen. It's Alaska. They were like, well, there are planes. We could fly these new planes. Well, the problem is the airplanes were open cockpit, and at negative 50
that
degrees,
would freeze it.
The pilot would die. The serum might not make it. It was really, really risky.
Forget about this.
Right. So they're like, well, sled dogs deliver the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use sled dog teams. So that's where, if you've seen the Disney movie Balto, that whole story is about the serum run where they took various sled dog teams. Why is Nick laughing?
I don't know.
I'm not.
I think he was joking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. Carry on. Like, just ignore
them. Funny?
No.
Joking at the corner.
So that whole episode was them taking the serum from Anchorage or a town outside of Anchorage, but the Iditarod is actually run from Anchorage up.
Yeah.
And they run sled dog teams, various different sled dog teams.
So it wasn't just one dog running
around? No. Well, you know, it's like the team of eight dogs or whatever. And they had three or four different teams that would hand off the vaccinations and go to the next team because it was, you know, hundreds of miles. So
yeah, it's
Balto,
a bit much to ask one dog.
Yeah, Balto only ran. He was the lead dog, but he only ran like the last 55 miles of the race, which, hey, I don't run unless a bear's chasing me, so good on Balto. But he got a lot of the accolades because he was one to cross the finish line.
Oh, so he's like Charles de Gaulle.
Yes.
In the liberation of Paris.
The big hero of this race, which I think Disney may have rights to do a movie on now, is a dog named Togo. Togo ran like 300 miles of the race.
Way
I mean, I think
go, Togo.
I think running there and then running back, you know.
Right.
He was in the most treacherous part of the race where there were ice floes and things like that. And he was 12 years old when he ran this
race. Wow. He's an old, old man.
And if you're into creepiness at all, you can see Togo's stuffed body up in in Alaska. I think he's in Juneau at the historical
museum.
Probably,
that sounds about right.
Which, I mean, I guess great. I'm just not in a taxidermy all that much, even though I have it all over my house. But so Togo is really the hero sled dog, and his musher was a man who I'm going to not remember his first name, but his last name was Sapala.
The last name's pretty, that's impressive.
Okay.
Yeah. So Sapala and his dog Togo were the heroes. And it was funny because when you learn about Togo's past, like he was originally, I think, not even considered a sled dog.
So he didn't even graduate. He didn't have his
degree.
Yeah,
he didn't go to sled dog U.
Yeah, he probably wasted his youth a little bit.
Yeah, he's
he was kind of a little bit of a troublemaker. Would go visit the other sled dogs, but he
probably got a few of them pregnant.
Sapala noticed that he had this quality, you know, these leadership qualities about him. So
Leadership qualities. Yeah, ended up.
Well, yeah, it's important to be a lead dog to have leadership qualities where are we driving?
I'm trying to cast the voice now for like who plays.
For the sled dog?
Because clearly he's going to talk. Because if Disney are doing it, clearly he's going to talk. And Balto will show up as like, you know.
The one who steals
glory hounds kind of.
Right.
Kind of probably played by Kenneth Branagh. You know,
if it was a long time ago, Robert Redford would have been Togo. Paul Newman would have been Balto.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly, right. Exactly.
So, and there is a statue in Central Park of Balto, but from what I understand, and I have no idea because I don't know anything
about.
You
want me to go take a picture with Balto when I'm in Central Park?
Go take a picture of Balto. Okay.
But just hold up a sign saying, this dog is not a hero.
Well, but I, from what I understand, the ribbons that Balto is wearing are actually Togo's ribbons. So they kind of.
Oh my god!
Like, is it Togo?
Balto
and
was
they just
an
named
ass.
Him Balto. Well, I don't. I mean, Balto's a dog. Like he
well,
was.
Well, I
like,
don't care. He's a glory hound that stole people's value.
So anyway, that's the story
down
of the
with,
Iditarod.
Down with that. Fake icon.
And the Serum Run, the Iditarod, I think, is the first weekend of March. So I don't know if now they video it or anything. So Blair has some interesting stuff that she's been doing. Like, they've been doing races in Wisconsin and, you know, Minnesota and other iceberg states. more so than we are. So, you know, we have the Upper Peninsula, but down here we're pretty wet and rainy. But yeah, so if you're interested in that at all, and she has a partner named Quince Mountain, who is also on Twitter.
Awesome.
Quince Mountain.
Quince Mountain.
I love it.
I love it because she kind of gave him a little jab. Apparently he was going through a race and decided that he wasn't going to win, I guess. I don't even know, but I just saw the Twitter feed and he decided to take the sled dogs through an ice sculpture park and just do a little tour of the park.
Huh, I'd like to go see that over there, guys. Come on, let's go.
Yeah. We ain't winning this. Let's go get our GoPros and see what happens.
Let's just check out the ice sculptures. So
I want to segue.
Hilarious.
I want to segue into our
relationship. I actually want his
bit.
Film because he'll be played by Matthew Lillard or something. And it's just...
Okay. Lee wants to talk about our relationship.
I do.
This could get awkward.
It could be. Well, think what you want. But so Lisa and I have a professional relationship as well as a friendly relationship. And sometimes we do our business meetings in odd places. So last week we rented a couple's room that does for massages. And we had a couple's massage. And
we talked business.
The entire time. So
masseuses must have just loved us.
Yeah, but we would also sprinkle in some American Gods stuff and...
Yeah, and my masseuse knew American Gods.
I know.
She's watching it, finally.
I am. Yeah. I'm watching it. I know Dead Wife. I know Leprechaun. I know...
She didn't know he was a leprechaun, though.
No, he just told
me. Well, yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he's in the taxi with...
With the...
The guy with the flaming eyes thing. I got all that.
So you saw the pretty huge dick then.
That was a pretty huge dick. Yep.
Well,
it was big.
That's an ifrit for you.
That was pretty awesome, actually. That was the best homoerotic scene I'd ever seen. So anyway, awesome. And now I've lost it.
Our relationship.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. So.
Massages, American Gods.
Massages. So we've decided to, we're taking Busted Bra Shop in a whole new way. And sometimes Lisa and I have to talk about how to make this work. So we're on the phone all the time. We, you know, it can be middle of the night. We tweet each other, or not tweet each other, but we text to each other and then we go take massages together. Because sometimes you just have to squeeze it all in, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do these things? And so we are expanding our empire.
We are.
We are. Can we say it?
You can say it. I just don't want to jinx it.
We're finalizing our deals in Chicago.
Woo woo.
I mean, they could still just be like, no, you took too long, bitch. But
until we have it signed back from them. But we do have a lease signed, and it's on its way.
Special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So once the landlord signs his side of it.
Yep. And I'm going to be down there in March to paper up windows and, you know, do like chocolat and made it very, what's happening in there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Coming soon. Coming soon. Patrick didn't get that reference. I was like, chocolat, chocolate. You know, chocolate, the movie.
I've never seen that movie either.
Yeah. And she talks about going into towns and papering up the windows so that people are curious what's going on in there.
I've never seen chocolat, but I like to say it. Chocolat.
Yeah, chocolat.
It's a, no. Well, it's for pretentious literary references. Chocolat is a great novel
in pretentious literary reference corner. Yes. There we go.
Okay. Chocolat is actually a fantastic piece of work because it synthesizes both the South American and European magic realism traditions.
Well, and I think Johnny Depp looks great in it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's one of his roles.
But yeah, but basically, it's a really interesting novel because it does that, because it does the magic realism, which is fantasy for people who don't like using the term fantasy and probably have a literature degree, has basically two things. It has a European one and it has a South American one. And Chocolat is actually intentionally a combination of the two.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm going to have to read that.
Yes, you are. Anyway.
So, all right. Well, we're almost at the end of Bras, Bitches, and Balls. And there are other things that we have to talk about.
Yes.
Opera Moto is, yes. Opera Moto's Double Entendre is tonight. We've talked about that several times. It is the tech rehearsal evening. And so Rotary is using it as a fundraiser as well. So if you're interested, we will put the links up on Bras, Bitches, and Balls for Opera Moto. Their regular production starts tomorrow, I believe. Tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. It's at the Jam Handy, a fantastic venue for different productions. The Jam Handy it was a soundstage originally, and you can look it up. It's very well known, and it's a great big room.
Yeah. If you go to archive.org and put in Jam Handy, you can watch a whole bunch of movies that were produced there. There are a lot of training films and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's a really, really neat place. Easy to do things
and
there.
And it's in my old neighborhood, and I never knew about it.
It's in New Center.
Yeah. I used to live in New Center.
It's in New Center.
Back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
So that's this weekend. Next weekend, we've got robot competitions for young people for the state, which my kid is in.
Are they in Lansing or are they in the Detroit area?
Not in the Detroit area. It does start with an L, but I don't know. I'll be there.
Mother of the year.
Somewhere not here.
Somewhere not here. Yeah, okay. I've been accused of that many times.
All right.
Listen, sometimes I just eke it out by the skin of my teeth.
She said last night, she's like, I'm never going to be the mother who made the best chocolate chip cookies. I'm like, yeah, you're going to be the mother who built an empire. Whatever. You win.
And eventually hooked up all of his girlfriends as a equivalent. So, you know.
So, or boyfriends, whatever.
Or boyfriends. Doesn't really matter. Whatever.
Whatever works.
However that shakes out.
Yep. I run in the house. I'm like, I've got to feed him. It's after 7 o'clock. He's 10. He's going to fifth grade. And I'm like, hey, I've got flour tortillas, some shredded cheese, and bacon.
What are we going to do here?
That's a lot of protein. That'll be good.
He did have a vegetable too, Justin.
Okay.
I had a bag of frozen peas.
So.
Hey, as a British person, I fully appreciate the use of peas in everything.
Thanks.
So, yeah.
And then I broke open my apocalypse stash of fruit juices because, you know, you have to rotate those through.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had apricot juice.
Banana.
And banana juice. And we mixed those together with a little orange juice. And he just thinks that's fantastic because the banana juice makes it creamy. But, yeah, you guys do have your stash for the apocalypse, right? You're looking at me
that.
Funny.
No, I had that growing up. I just don't have juice in it.
Wow.
Well, scurvy. We can't have scurvy.
Well, that's true.
I mean, have we not learned anything from like Mad Max and Waterworld? You have to have fruit.
Okay.
It's going to be a commodity.
I learned it from learning why British sailors were called limeys, but okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm from a naval family, so, you know.
Right? I didn't really learn it from Waterworld. I heard that was a horrible
19.
Movie.
No, 21. I was 21 when I went in the Navy.
Yeah.
I really wasn't sure what Navy people did.
But. And then at some point, we all need to go see the Black Panther.
Oh, I already saw that. Yeah, that's great.
Did you?
So we can talk about, yeah.
I'm going to go watch it.
Should,
so we can talk
I need
about
to
it.
Go see it again because the theater I went in, the speakers were a bit off.
Ooh.
And Lupita has a very soft, gentle voice, and sometimes I couldn't quite hear
what she said.
It's because you're old. It's not because of the
No, because I could listen to other stuff afterwards, and it was fine.
I'm starting not to be able to hear people in groups. I'm like, motherfucker. I've lost my
you
eyes
also
already.
Don't wear your glasses.
I can't see.
Like, where are
can't see, and then I can't hear. That's starting to happen in groups of people. Sometimes I just nod, and they could have told
me anything.
That's
because of your punk childhood where you were standing too close to the speakers.
Well, I worked for the Stones, and I did a show with them, and I should have had on earplugs. And then I was on stage with Aerosmith one time running cable, and my earplug kind of came out a little bit, and I was like, oh, it sounds so good. Well, the next day, my cat sounded like it had like three different meows. I was like, oh, I think I did some damage there.
Yeah, the things we do when we're young and we think it's not going to be a big deal, and then our older selves are like, I'd really like to go kick you in the ass now. I want a time machine. What would you do? I wouldn't kill Hitler. I'd go back and kick my younger me's ass.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it. And then I was in a rock and roll band. Mm-hmm. I was the lead singer for a rock and roll band. So, yeah, I did a lot of stuff that really fucked up my ears, but... You know, a lot of it really was worth it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. If I had to give up one of my senses, I would give up my eyes for sure so I could hear everything. Because I do like to hear things.
Mm-hmm.
Have you never thought about that? What would you give up if you had to lose one?
Okay. All right. Well,
ponder that for a while.
As a lawyer, I'm going to go with my
touch,
hearing.
As long
sense
as it's
of
not
touch?
A sense of touch, I'm
Taste,
I definitely want to keep that.
Eyes, ears, what would it be?
On that note, we should think about it and get back to you on that when you're back in town, because it is 11 o'clock.
Damn it. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in today. And we learned about the story that Balto is not a hero.
He is not a hero. I'm just
remember,
saying he wasn't
kill your
the
darlings,
biggest
including
hero.
Balto.
He wasn't the biggest hero.
He wasn't the biggest hero. He was just, he stole glory. That bastard.
I always thought it was one dog that knew where to go, like a pigeon.
All right.
A homing dog.
A homing dog, yes.
All right. Love you guys. Mean
and
it.
And on that note.
Vomit spots rule.